This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Welcome to Remarkable Results Radio. Carm Capriotto here, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcasts. We've got over 1,000 archived episodes, and please consider this podcast your personal business networking tool. Hey, making a difficult, tough decision can be one of the hardest things to face. I'm sure you've toiled with when's the right time? Are you making the right choice? Can you push through it? Is it the right thing to do? Well, in this episode, my panel of courageous women shares their own examples of pulling the trigger on a tough decision. Their stories will inspire you and maybe even give you the push you were looking for to pull the plug. Hey, thanks to our partners, Shopware and Broadly, for providing this episode. Here's a little tip for you. Sell with clicks, not calls. You know, showcase your technical expertise and get to yes faster. With Shopware's online interactive repair orders, you will put your value at your customer's fingertips. Book a demo at GetShopware.com. Hey, are you constantly being interrupted by customers' calls when you're trying to make repairs? Now, with Broadly's web chat feature, cool idea, you can work on a car and respond to a customer's questions right on your phone. Find out at GetBroadly.com/chat. Hey, I'm glad you're here. Let's keep it going. Tell a friend. Share this episode. Help all inside our beloved industry to continue to rise to new levels of personal success. I'd like to introduce my panel to you. As I said, Kim Auerenheimer was so kind to bring me this topic. Kim's from CS Automotive in Brentwood, Tennessee. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Carm. So good to be back.
Good to have you here. Did you escape all that flooding?
We did. Our house and our shop are both up high on the hills. We drove through Waverly a couple weeks ago, and it's devastating. Very heartbreaking.
It's too bad. What a shame. Well, it's been an incredible weather period this late summer. Becky McGinnis is with us from Auto Vantage Service Center in Auburn, California. Hey, Becky.
Hey, Carm.
Ready to go. I love it. And Tina Erickson, Ken's Auto Service in Aurora, Colorado. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Carm. Thank you for having me.
Well, ladies, I got to tell you, a great subject. Kim, I think when you called me, I just said yes immediately because I've been there in all my years of being in business and in the industry. And, you know, we sweat really tough decisions. And sometimes when we make those decisions, we get tougher to make the second and the third and the fourth. But often, two times we hesitate and we watch the stuff. Well, if I had made that decision last week and you actually, in your mind, if you don't make the decision, you look to see the changes you wanted to make, but you never did and say, oh, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. And sometimes we have a lot of regrets that we didn't make this decision. Sometimes very little we have regrets that we did make the decision. But you know what? Those are what mistakes are about, right? And of course, the cool thing, and you guys are going to talk about here, are the results of those great trigger-pulling decisions that you made. So, Kim, let's start out. Obviously, decisions are made to produce change typically, right?
The old adage, if you don't change, if you don't grow, then you die. We were, and I love that the three panelists, there's all different layers. Mine's very small. I mean, to me, it was a very small change compared to Tina's, per se. So I love that we're going to get the full range of the pulling the trigger levels. But for me, it was changing point of sales. We've been with the same point of sale for about 10 years. And I likened it to wanting to have a divorce for several years, but never really knowing if what was on the other side, the next spouse, the next point of sale was really going to be better. Becky knows during COVID times, we talked several times about, you know, whether it's the time to, we're looking at different point of sale systems and if this is the right time or not. If you don't change, then you're never going to get better. And Rob and I have been married 28 years now. And, I look at that as like we've had to grow, we've had to change through our marriage for it to be as successful as it is. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with our business. And that's just tweaking this and tweaking that. And small changes, big changes are very important.
So if I brought Rob on the show right now, Kim, and I said, how much did she change you? What would he say?
Well, he's shaved his mustache since then. A number of things, but I think but you both have to change. I mean, everybody has to change for growth and success.
So, Becky, you pulled a trigger about a month ago that was huge. And I have to tell you, the reason that I'm coming to you second is there's a lot of people sitting on the sidelines right now going to listen to what you say, and hopefully your story will motivate them.
Oh, my. So, yeah. So we purchased a building about 3 years ago, and upstairs is a loft and office. And for 3 years, I've been planning my, you know, move to this office. But it was very difficult. It's taken me 3 years. A lot of it had to do with the fact that I've been in the dailies. I mean, the first 10 years, I was there every day and talking to our customers, greeting them, you know, making sure they're taken care of, and had gotten to a point where I felt like nobody could do it as good as I could. And because of that, I tended to micromanage some of my employees. And over the last year, I've been doing a lot of growth on myself and leadership. And one of the things is that I need to rely upon my employees to do what I hired them to do. Last year, I also heard somebody say that it's my job as the owner to take care of my employees to take care of the customer, and then the customer would take care of the business. And for so long, I had made it my focus that my job and all the employees was to take care of the customers. And so when I got into that mindset that my job is actually to take care of my employees, then it helped me shift into working in the business, you know, and have to move into working on the business. And to take care of my employees, I needed to make sure that everything was set up. So making the move about a month ago, it was very traumatizing for me not to be in the dailies, and especially what was that going to look like? Because I was used to checking in customers, doing walk arounds, working with the techs, you know, ordering parts, you know, doing end of day. And so I didn't know what that was going to look like moving out of the dailies. So it's been very interesting.
Becky, it's so fresh in your mind. Really share with us that first day, the second day. I mean, obviously, did you go in on the first day that you were really trying to remove yourself, or did you stay home? I mean, what'd you do?
So, well, the first day was when the decision was made. You know, my husband and I went down and you know, spoke to our two service advisors to let them know that I was going to be moving out of the dailies. And it was kind of, a split decision that was made, and I just had to do it. So I literally, after lunch, went in and started moving my stuff upstairs. We had all the furniture. Everything was set up here. I just hadn't made the move. So I just started moving everything out.
Were they excited?
I think that they were, for me to let go and to trust them. And that was the biggest thing, is to allow them to do what I hired them to do and not be in the, you know, what would Becky do anymore, but, you know, what am I trusted to do? And so they know. I've trained them. They know what to do. So I just needed to let go.
Kudos to you for making that tough decision. And I just want a quick affirmation. Kim, have you made a big move like that one day?
Oh yeah, I mean that's kind of, and it's really interesting that Becky brought that. What was it? Your customers will, you take care of your employees. Your employees will take care of your customers. Will take care of your business. Rob and I just got back from Ratchet and Wrench conference, and the theme of the weekend was take the lead. And that was, so we came back extra energized to make sure that we're doing exactly what Becky said. So I loved what she said, is we have to take care of our employees. And that's making sure that our policies and procedures are so clear and so defined, and everything is just laid out so that the business is running and we're not having to run it like Becky was saying. So it was a great reminder to go to Ratchet and Wrench and come back and, you know, and have that reinforced, and then to hear Becky say that. But yeah, absolutely, having to step away from the front end. I had a customer come in yesterday, and Rob and I have been in business since 2006. I've been working at the shop for 11 years. He had no idea who I was. And I was actually previously I would have been like, oh, that's kind of sad. But now yesterday I was like, yes, we're doing it. We're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Tina, same with you on a big move like that?
Yeah. For me, I am at home actually today.
Wait a minute. I want everyone to hear that. Tina's at home, But Becky, you're in your upstairs office, right?
Yes.
So you haven't completely, say, just go in for 2 days, right?
Taking baby steps, baby steps.
Okay. But at least you pull the trigger. Okay. Go ahead, Tina.
I am down to 2 days a week. Yeah, for me, it was letting go. You know, I hired the people, and thank goodness I get to pick and choose and go through everything that I need to do to make the best decision on people I bring into my shop, you know. And then let them do their, you know, due diligence and let them take over with what I hired them to do. You know, having those policies and procedures in place to be able to give them the opportunity to do so was the biggest part. For me, it was so uncomfortable, really. I've been saying that I'm going to start stepping away for about 2 years. So this last 2 months has really been the big push. So July, I made a commitment. August, I tried, and then, you know, really set into motion that I got all the things hooked up. I got all of the IT situation worked out. And now I can, you know, work from anywhere, which is fantastic. So great staff that lets me do this, you know. It's been a dream. It was the all-time goal. And after 19 years, I'm thankful and totally thrilled that I get to do this now.
And good for you. Now, Kim, you had mentioned processes and policies. No, I'm sorry. It was you, Tina. But I'm sure, ladies, you could not have done this had you not done, as Tina says, your due diligence on the policies and procedures. Now, was it the team that helped you pull that together, knowing that they were going to have to, they're continuing to work in and have to follow them?
You know, I reached out to a coaching company. And the coaching company and the mentors that I got to meet were the ones that really pushed me forward. I was not in the shop full time until 8 years ago. And it was just run out of my husband's head. So policies, procedures, where things were ordered from, purchased, phone numbers, all of this stuff, had no idea. So it was them that led me forward with, okay, you need to line this up as you were lined up in your dental career, you know, and where you went to work and how they trained you. So step back and let's move forward with, you know, getting some systems in place.
Becky, same with you?
Same with me. I mean, and Kim's always helped me with those kinds of things. But yeah, policies and procedures, you need to have them in place to be able to let the staff know. You know, I always say, you know, if something happens to someone, you need to know what's going on. And so communication's huge here, you know, just making sure everybody's on the same page. But yeah, policies and procedures cannot move forward. I can't do what I'm doing up here away from them if they weren't in place.
So this whole thing about trusting your staff, Becky, work with me a little bit on that. Was it, did you have to make any moves as you were developing this whole move in your mind? Did you make any moves previous to that? Or was it as far as people? Or did you literally start working closer with your people knowing that there was going to be a day to come that you were going to do this?
I think a lot of it for me was that I'm such a perfectionist in how I do things. And so nobody had been able to get to my level. So having to understand that everyone's a little different and that I had to work towards their strength. But the biggest thing for me, again, this last year is how have I been as a leader? And so, you know, that's been the biggest thing I think for me is just becoming a great leader and realizing that my employees, if I let them do it, that they will step up to the plate. And that's the biggest thing I think Tina, you know, as well, it's like when we step away, you know, I used to freak out when I'd have to leave to go on vacation or, you know, I mean, we closed about 5 years ago, we closed from Christmas to New Year's because I didn't want to think about the shop, you know, because if the shop was open, I wasn't there, I was going to be freaking out about it. So we closed the shop down completely. And so now I get to, you know, go to a conference or leave or go on vacation and not have to worry about what they're doing, that I trust them. And I think that with them knowing that I trust them, it brings them to the next level. And I think that in the past, I had taking them down and not giving them the opportunity to show me what they could really do because they were so worried about doing it Becky's way. And now I allow them to do it their way. It's not, exactly the way that maybe I would do it, but that's okay. As they say, there's many ways to skin a cat.
And we don't need to talk numbers, Becky, but I do know there's a long, we have a long history, and there's the number of employees that you guys had turnover was higher because of that. So not only are you not able to rest and enjoy life and focus on your business when you're not there, then you're also having to always train new people all the time. Mm-hmm. And so that's something, you know, that I know that Becky has shared that, you know, her team is staying. And, you know, it's they're a lot more developed because there's not constantly retraining or new blood in there.
Ladies, this is a bonus. The whole episode is about, you know, knowing when it's right to pull the trigger. And just that you brought up one of the biggest moves that you made in your business was to get up and out or to work in it, to work on it, not in it. That's a bonus for this episode. But Kim, I'd love you to start a dialogue on how to try to make, you know, a big, tough decision, things to think about.
Well, the most recent one was, again, it was many years in the making, and it was kind of forced on us. We were using a point-of-sale system that had gotten, they were ready to go into a new level, you know, 12 or whatever, and take it from being an app-based internet-based, et cetera, et cetera. But there were some things that we were used to doing in the old system that weren't going to be available. And so it was just one of those decisions like, okay, do we just continue to suffer through and just make it work for us? Or is this when we're just going to take that leap of faith and know it's time to pull the trigger? So what we did, I mean, we had meeting after meeting, and we met with, you know, between Rob and I and talking about it, is this really the right step for us to do? We have never been busier in this shop. We have never been busier. Is this really the right time to do it? And, you know, and here we are, we're so busy where everybody's, there's not a minute to breathe, the next breath. And then we're going to throw in this new point of sale system. And not only a point of sale system, let's talk about the DVI and, you know, how the shop flow is going to happen. And so it was one of those that we had to get buy-in. We had to buy in ourselves first and foremost. We had to make a decision that this is what we indeed as a business need. Then we had to get buy-in from the employees.
I want to stop you there right now. It sounds like you made a tough decision, and business was great, and it was booming, and we were living in a pandemic world. We didn't know what to do, masks or no masks and all that stuff. But you kind of went down the Q&A of, is it the right decision for the business? Staff was involved. Was it the right time? Probably the answer to that was no.
But it's never going to be the right time.
Absolutely. And I think if you look at those four points that I know you're trying to make here, and the timing is never a yes, maybe rarely it is. Is it a yes? Doesn't mean that if you can answer three out of four questions. I mean, the big decisions, I don't think are vapor. I think, ladies, you write them down. I think you have, you know, it's almost like a bank balance. You know, there's the left side, there's the right side, there's the yeses, there's the noes, there's the pros, there's the cons. And you look at all this stuff, sure, you sweat, sure, you worry, sure, you talk to people, sure, you go to your peer network, sure, you talk to your coach, sure, you do all these things, but you do them and you move it forward. Decisions can't be made unless you have enough feel right answers that say, hey, life isn't perfect. The decision I'm going to make will not be 100% perfect. Let's do it. I see you all smiling. I mean, there's a let's do it moment.
I think it's also important to let your team know and let yourself know that it's not going to be perfect. It was the third day in. It was the Wednesday. We started the new point of sale on a Monday. It was the third day in. I walked out and I said, because I happen to have two female service advisors, said, ladies, if you need to go home. I'll take care of this. It was too much for them. It was a lot at that particular day. So I walked in with a smile. I came in with a smile. It was endless hours of working to make this happen, to make it as seamless as possible. And it wasn't seamless. However, you know, I had to say, it's okay. It's going to be okay. And I had to believe that it was going to be okay as well, or they wouldn't. And it's, you know, we're still not done with the transition. It's the transition's going to be forever. And, well, I shouldn't say it feels like forever. And same with what Becky and Tina are going through. There's still transition points, and you got to say it's not going to be perfect, and that's okay.
So, Becky, have you ever made a decision? Because she said earlier, I'm a perfectionist. So, have you ever made a decision when you didn't feel it was perfect, but you just said, "Let's do it"?
I don't know. I believe that in life you have to take risks, you know, and, you know, there's learning points, you know, if it doesn't work out the way you expect it to. We changed our software system last October, and the staff boycotted me, and we went back to what we did before.
Interesting. A boycott. Wow. I don't want to know the details on this show, but I would love to know the details. How you dealt with that. That's interesting. Huh? It's called a rollback, right?
Well, they felt that if it was working, why'd we change it? And I could understand that. I totally understood that. So it was, you know, as my husband is, an ancient man in a modern world. And so the staff felt that way about our software system. You know, it was working. We knew it. Leave it alone. So I bowed down.
When that has ever happened to me, Becky, I always put the pressure on me post-decision, meaning I lost, they won. And I would say, boy, I didn't sell that well at all.
Totally. Totally could have been. It was one of those decisions that was made, you know, like, this is going to take us to the next level. We got this. It's got all the bells and whistles. And they didn't want bells and whistles.
Well, the bells and whistles, it was a statement. We have bells and whistles coming. Maybe let me show you stuff. Don't call it a bell. Don't call it a whistle. Let's say, and again, I think we're helping the industry listen to this and say, we need to do this. But if you don't show the value and forget about the feature has nothing to do with it. It's all about the benefit. It's what's the benefit to the customer? What's the benefit to the company? What's the benefit to you? And if we could look at these 20 things that I'm sold on that I want to make this move, what do you all agree with? And then reluctantly, they may say yes, but they also had a vote. They thought those benefits would be good for the company. So, yeah, I always say I did a terrible job. I would never be a good car salesman if I couldn't
sell
it.
Totally. Everything you're saying, light bulbs are flashing. I mean, it's like Kim had, you know, talked about, you know, I was the one that was excited about it. I was the one that did all the footwork and getting everything ready. But there was no buy-in from the employees prior. It was more of a, hey, this is what we're going to do, and didn't prepare them for the change, you know, or for the transition. And so, yeah, totally, light bulbs flashing. I could have done a way better job.
Hey, Carm here. Never be afraid of losing who you are. If you change a career path, find out why. The automotive industry is blazing through with so many twists and turns and changes. Careful not to crash. Yet amidst it all, the demand for repair is a constant. So the questions remain, will repair shops adapt or die? Well, our friends at Shopware Shop Management Software get it. Their CEO is a shop owner. They understand what it takes to repair cars, and they're ready for the next big thing in automotive. Shopware tailors mainstream web-based technology to the needs of the industry's leading repair shops. You can run entirely digital, phone optional, and paper-free. Interactive online repair orders will not only meet the needs of contemporary drivers, but they are blown away by the experience. Connecting the aftermarket together, Shopware's ecosystem enables next-generation shop efficiency and customer satisfaction without compromise. Full-service onboarding and best-in-class support provide everything a shop needs to transform its business and stay competitive long into the future. Enjoy more accurate quotes, more profitable jobs, busier technicians, and of course, happier customers. On the web at getshopware.com. You know auto shops with tons of five-star reviews, and that doesn't happen overnight. There's actually a strategy to getting all of those positive reviews. Now, Broadly knows how to do it because they are the experts at improving your web presence and increasing your number of five-star Google reviews. There's an optimal time to ask your client for an online review. Now, do you know when? Well, Broadly knows the best time to ask for a review is immediately after service. That's when the experience is fresh, the vehicle looks good, and you've just satisfied your customer's need for safe and reliable transportation. Lots of companies say they can help your shop get more reviews, but what do they really offer? Now, Broadly is the only platform that partners with Google for reviews and messaging in the auto space. Broadly gives you the confidence to ask and receive more quality online reviews from your clients. Get Broadly's system to help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of five-star reviews on the web at getbroadly.com/chat and start chatting with a Broadly representative and learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Hey, Tina, you made some amazing decisions in your life. Not only are you, like you say, working 2 days a week, but when you left a career and came to work for the business, and I think there's an awful lot of spouses out there that can relate to your story. Give us a little backstory.
So I was in the dental field 28 years. My parents owned an auto repair shop, and I married a mechanic. Backstory with that is we decided to start our own shop. 2012, my husband Ken was diagnosed with kidney cancer. So it was about 2013. He was given 6 months to live, and I had to make a decision. What was I going to do? Because nothing that we had planned and our goals, they had all changed, right? Cancer comes into anybody's life and everything is totally dropped on you and switches everything you have in your life. Anyways, I had to make a decision, you know, run the shop or shut it down. I have to be honest, I didn't think there was much value in the business at that time. So for selling it. So I went to my staff, which was my shop manager, my stepson, Ken's son worked there, and my daughter. Talked to them and decided to become the sole owner, carry on, and leave dentistry and make a go at it and carry the legacy forward.
It's an incredible story. I know a lot about the backstory here. Thank you for sharing it. A huge business, 8 people. How many bays? 6 bays. Huge, you know, 7-figure business. You obviously pulled the trigger and made a really smart move.
I did. Thank you. And at that time, I didn't think it. You know, I knew I could be successful and to some extent, right? But I didn't know how. Well, so that fear, but fear has driven me before in my life to a positive aspect, right? It gives me a lot of get up and go. So we have a very successful shop. It's been 8 years now since Ken has been gone. I have 8 employees, 6 bays, 3 master mechanics, a B-Tech and a C-Tech, and 3 of us or 4 of us up front now. Because I just added on what we call a front counter assistant. And I think really bringing Melissa in has given me the opportunity to really delegate because my daughter is still with me. So between her and my longest employee, Ryan Hutt, my shop manager, two of the most trusted people that I have in my life work at my shop. So it gave me the freedom to finally do this trigger again and go home and learn how to work from home.
Was the trigger to pulling the trigger to go home as big as making the decision to be a sole entrepreneur?
No.
Okay. Leaving the industry, your husband passing, my sympathies to you on that. And then you deciding, hey, I'm going to do this. Those were bigger than the decision to work from home for 2 days, right?
Yeah, that was one of the biggest decisions I had to make in my life.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the rocky road that happens after you make a big decision.
I mean, the decision that when I made, it was 10 years ago, to make the decision to leave my career in commercial property management was, I mean, that was a huge step, to step away what my identity was. My identity was my career, you know, and I was fortunate to make 6 figures during that time, and to walk away from that and, number one, not take a paycheck for a while. Number two, you know, try to figure. There's lots of things. So Tina, I mean, obviously the story is not the same by no means. And again, my sympathies. But it is to take that leap, pull the trigger. And I know Becky came into the shop from her tech husband opening a shop. That's how she came in. So, all three of us in different ways had to pull that trigger to come in and leave. And again, that my career was my identity. And so then you come into this new business, this new unfamiliar territory. And all I could do was is talk and learn as much as I could. And every second you're going, what did I do? I lost who I am. And Becky may go, you know, while she's upstairs going, I've lost who I am in the fact that I'm not, you know, relating with my customers on a regular basis. I think it's really important to not think about it, what you've lost, who you were, and now, but then you're growing into something that's even more valuable. Tina, with her hugely, successful shop. I know Becky and Brian's shop is amazingly successful, and Rob and I are very fortunate as well to have very successful shops. But it's not to not lose who you are in the midst of it. And then my last comment on that, one thing I will warn you, and I think I shared this on a previous podcast with you, Carm, was when, Rob and I had been married 17 years at that time, and I started working with him full time, and I thought, I don't know who this gentleman is. Because he wasn't such a gentleman at work sometimes, but I don't know who he is. He was not the man that I was married to at home. And so then having to work through that and to make that decision that we're going to persevere, we're going to get better because of this.
And following up on what Kim said, this last year, I've been going through growth like crazy this last year, but for 12 years, I was working in Brian's business, you know, because my husband, this was his dream to open his shop. You know, I was a human resource manager and came on to help him with our new business. And for 12 years, I've, you know, helped build it, but I never felt like I was the owner. And last year we went through some stuff and, Brian took a step back and became the foreman of the shop because he was going through, you know, what he was going through. And I was asked to kind of step into the owner role. And so that was, for me, it was an incredible, that was the first time I felt like, oh, wait, if he wasn't here, I think I could do this on my own. Kind of what Tina, you know, like, I think I could do this. Like, I don't need him anymore. And it was, for me, huge because I was now taking ownership, which in the past, this was Brian's. You know, I would always say like, well, you know, if I decided to leave this, what would I do? Because losing my identity when I came on board was huge. I didn't know where my role was within the company. I knew I was an owner, you know, on paper, but I never felt like it because I was always worried that if Brian wasn't involved with this business, could I do it? And it was over just the last year that I finally realized like I could actually do this. Like I could, if I wanted to, go and open up another shop and I could do it. So multi-shop owner possibilities in the future.
Yay. Becky, where did that confidence come from?
For me, it was, as Tina shared, you know, I found, a supporting, you know, I was looking for support in a coaching company. And a lot of that, there was many discussions as to what my role was within the business. Where did I want to see myself going? And having some heart-to-heart discussions and realizing the biggest thing I'm working on right now is having hard conversations make an easy life versus easy conversations make a hard life. And so right now I'm really, that's what my focus on right now is learning to have hard conversations. Brian tends to do a great job with it. With employees, I don't do so well. You know, again, it goes back to the I'm paying you to do a job, do it. But sometimes you need to be able to have those hard conversations with people, you know, to have an easy life. Someone always says, do you want to make your wife cry or do you want to make your employee cry?
Yes, for me, I'll just tap into that again because exactly what Kim had shared about is at the same time, I was grieving my identity, my career, and losing my husband. So there was a lot of difficulties, and without having mentors and friends that knew of my husband and that heard that I was running the shop and we were keeping it open, show up at my doorstep, I don't know where I would have gone, because my lease was up too. That was the other thing. It was coming up. It was due. I haven't had the opportunity to sit down with anybody just yet and really figure out what they were wanting. Because, you know, when we went into this, it was about being there and doing for others, you know, that service industry. And so the longer things had went on, of course, it got better with having that mentor. You know, I started joining a bunch of groups. I joined in with a business development group. I joined in, which just stole my heart, was the kids over at the local vocational school for auto repair. Once again, one of the main teachers over there knew my husband, walked through the door and said, "Hey, we'd like to have you join." And all these opportunities that then solidified, I am where I'm supposed to be.
Tina, you just said so many powerful, powerful things. And I don't want it to just go away. Joined an advisory council, joined a business development group, worked with coaches, and mentors and friends were there for you, either from a let me know if you need anything, or willing to just sit down and talk to you. Maybe sometimes you ask, sometimes they give. The other thing that I was thinking of on everything you were saying was about having an open mind, because I think there's too many narrow-minded people that are struggling, and it's because of they can't get out of their own way. Their egos are too strong. And if you're going to pull the trigger on big decisions, you can't get in your own way of doing that. I mean, I think we don't decide, we don't move forward, we don't create change. Kaizen, fix it before it breaks. We don't do that stuff because we are more of the problem, because our mind isn't open enough.
Totally agree. That open-mindedness, that willingness to just push forward and have the courage to try it. Because, you know, what can happen, right? What I was faced with was, you know, a lease that was going to end. I could always go back to dentistry. But if I try this and it doesn't succeed, okay, well, then I'm back where I was. And I done all the numbers. I did the pros and cons. I laid things out on paper, you know, because for many years we lived off of my dental. If you people, everybody out there knows that happens all the time, you know. So we lived off of my dental career. So, I could return to that, and things were going to be okay.
Ladies, this was an incredible discussion, and I want to do a last call with one thing in mind. So we're here to talk about finding the right time to pull the trigger, but Tina, you just said a word that I wrote down, and this is the word that should have been in the title of our episode. You said the word courage, and that to me rocked me, and I think was missing from the first 30 minutes of our discussion. You nailed it. So ladies, I'm not sure exactly what question to ask, but how important is courage in pulling a trigger to make a great decision? Let's just go around the room. Tina, bring it back to us. Give us a little bit more on courage.
It's so important, right? It's one of the main attributes of me being able to be where I'm at today. So there's been many things that have transpired in my life that I had to just walk through. I had to step over. And don't get this wrong. Some people and some places, in order to continue to be the person I want to be and the life that I want to live. So, and that took courage. So for me, it's huge. I'm actually kind of speechless over it right now that, you know, it tightens my chest because it is, you know, like Kim talked about very early on in the segment, it's the courage to change too.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, Kim. Everyone here, this is an incredibly strong and very worthwhile episode for everyone to listen to find out what it takes to make tough decisions. Maybe that's another great word that should have been in the title. Pulling the trigger. How, you know, do you have the courage to make tough decisions? Maybe that's the title now that we've heard this. Kim, a little on courage.
When you said courage, I automatically thought of the Cowardly Lion, you know, Wizard of Oz, and, you know, he wanted to change. He wanted to have the courage. And so he sought out the friends that would take him along the trail, you know, to get courage. And if you don't have courage, first of all, none of us would be talking with Carm today because we either were part of or instrumental in our husbands making the decision to open the shop to start with. That's courage right there. Mm-hmm. Our incomes are going to change, consistent incomes. We may not get health insurance. We may, you know, all these things. So if you don't think you have courage if you're in this industry. This is a difficult industry to not have courage and be brave in, or it can be. It can be. But if you don't have courage, if you're not going to make those changes to be better, then get off the path. You know, you're not going to find the yellow brick road. And I know all three shops that are on here, we found the yellow brick road because I know these shops, and that, you know, it is a great path to stay along. And if you do have courage, if you're here, you're listening, you have courage, period.
Becky, take it home.
So when I hear the word courage, when we started talking about that, the first word that popped in my head is faith. You know, faith without works, you know, that, you know, I needed to believe that there was a reason we were brought to this point, you know, because Brian 13 years ago was working at a dealership that closed its doors. And we were at the point of, you know, we had always had the discussion, you know, Brian had always said, if I had my own shop. So here we were with him not having a job and what we were going to do next, you know, and it's just, I believe that with faith and courage and passion, you know, we were able to build this. And so courage, yeah, I mean, you know, but when I hear courage, I think of faith as well.
Can you share the irony of that, Becky? This is a great story.
So 13 years ago, when Brian lost his job, the dealership he was working at, 10 years after we had opened the business, we were able to come back and purchase the building, the dealership that he had closed his doors, that it, you know, had opened up the opportunity to go and open up our own shop. So 3 years ago, we were able to purchase the building. So yeah, so we feel very fortunate. It's a beautiful building that was set up for a dealership. And so everything has happened exactly the way that it was supposed to, as long as Brian and I put the work in, you know, that needs to be done.
And have the courage.
And have the courage to do it. Yes, to trust.
Incredible job. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing your heartfelt honesty. Kim Auerenheimer, CS Automotive, Brentwood, Tennessee. Becky McGinnis, Auto Vantage Service Center in Auburn, California. And Tina Erickson, Ken's Auto Service, Aurora, Colorado. Thanks, ladies.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.